Episode 30 of The Exit Strategy. Silicon Valley Bank, better known as SVB in the market, collapses. Today on The Exit Strategy, we review what happens, where are we going, what's coming up next. And if you're a fan of the show, don't be afraid to like, share, and subscribe. And without further delay, let's hear that count.
One, two, three, four.
You're listening to The Exit Strategy, a podcast that inspires open discussions about financial news and technology today. My name, Marcus Megarian, a recovering SaaS vendor, joined by my co-hosts, Ralph DeFiore and Swadek Mazumdar. And we're sitting down with startup founders, technology experts. Now let's begin.
The news is hot. The news is crazy. The news is not as bad as I think that everyone should be thinking. Because, like, you know, we've lived through many situations in the past, and things like 2008 and even March of 2000 with the dot-com crash. Ralph, I feel that this is a very concentrated event. I still have the hope and the faith that we learned since 2008 that crises is like these, which we don't want to call it a crisis, but like events like these are actually, we're better prepared for them today. And we're obviously talking about SVB. What if we broke down the story, right? We had the, as you said, we had the COVID-19 situation with the interest rates being cut to zero. And, you know, we have, what is it here? We have the stimulus checks. Everyone's getting a lot of money. So people are dumping money. They're taking the stimulus checks and investing it through Robinhood or some other thing. It could be Fidelity. It could be E-Trade or whatever it is that you, whatever you're choosing is. And the amount of cash being dumped into startups was through the roof, right? Because 0% interest rates, a lot of places had negative interest rates. And you were saying it, right? The SVB team or the company itself, when you look at the records, they had $62 billion in deposits at the beginning of the pandemic. And during all these stimulus events and all these fiscal easings and everything, their balance went up to $200 billion. So they went up almost four times in terms of deposits. They actually have to pay interest on these deposits because you're either going to just go to another bank in the case, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And what they did is they put quite a bit of money in long dated high quality bonds, yeah, including treasuries, and
those were long term treasuries, right?
Yes, like
the 30-year notes, which are, yes, as we know, is interest rate sensitive.
I'll say, I guess to compound that mistake, they didn't read what Powell was saying. They didn't think he'd be aggressive like he was. I don't know what happened there, but you think if you had a portfolio like that, that was going to be so sensitive to interest rate rises, you would cut back.
So they just got...
Go ahead. Yeah.
So you have a lot of money going to these VCs. You have a lot of money going to the population. You have, then you have SVB as a bank. What do they want to do? They want to provide loans with at least some kind of interest rate to their customers. But how are you gonna, if all your customers are flushed with cash, they don't really need a loan from you. So then the bank still has to figure out a way to actually pay, interest rates or some kind of yield to their savings depositors. And the only thing they started noticing is that they started, the only place they could really get some kind of yield that is considered risk-free is with 10, 30-year treasury bonds. And as Powell starts moving his rates higher and higher, you started seeing that, you start losing money because the face value starts going down. So now that interest rates are rising,
People would pull the money out and put them in higher yielding money market accounts, so, or CDs.
Interest rates go up. You have less demand to invest in startups. Many of these startups are unprofitable and many with unrealistic business models. And you go from $198 billion in deposits to down to $165 billion in deposits. Now, if we fast forward, supposedly who triggered this was Moody's Investments. or Moody's Research Company, what they did is they call SVB and state, hey, SVB, we're going to downgrade you because you have all these all this exposure to long-term bank, to long-term bonds, long-term notes. And with rising interest rates, you know, they're losing value. They actually, because of the call from Moody's, they started selling the assets. They sold around $21 billion of these long-term assets, creating a $1.8 billion loss that they realized from those positions. And, you know, so on March 8th, Moody's downgrades them from like a AAA1 down to somewhere around a B. And then because of all the recent events and other things happening, because in the interim, SVB is trying to raise money from to cover the loss that they had by issuing $2.25 billion in stock to investors to make up for that $1.8 billion loss, which helped trigger a further panic. And that further panic then forced Moody's 2 days later to drop the rating to a C. You see what I'm saying? So then now, and during that time between March 8th and March 10th, you have another $42 billion of deposits removed from the bank. So we go from $198 billion in the highest amount of deposits they had to below $120 billion deposits. And 85% of these deposits are uninsured above the FDIC rate, right? So anyone above $250,000 is technically in an uninsured position. So that means that their customers didn't, I mean, obviously their customers should have been diversifying their banks, right? I mean, if you have, if you're a company with hundreds of million dollars investments, you should have some money in Bank of America, JP Morgan, you know, some other bank, which would be a way to protect them even more. But there's just so many things that I would say, not that it went wrong, but that as we started getting, as people get lazy, they stop feeling that these kinds of movements are necessary.
Yeah, here's the other thing with the tech companies. I don't think all of them are running losses, but they stopped being funded, and that has two implications. They're going to start drawing down money from SVB, which, by the way, has relationships with 50% of all the venture companies in America, if I understand it correctly. That's incredible.
They're definitely well connected.
And, you know, as Chris Whalen indicated, this is a problem. The problem in the whole banking system is that they've taken in all this cash from all the stimulus programs, from the fiscal stimulus, from the pandemic stimulus. They've taken in all this capital during a period, unprecedented period of low rates, and they had to invest that capital. So, Marcus, I sent you a chart by Whalen Global, Chris Whalen. And you could see in that chart the massive losses of the entire banking system is about $750 billion as a result of interest rates rising. So yeah, it's a U.S. banking problem brought on by unusual circumstances of historically low rates, huge cash balances flowing into the banks from stimulus in every direction. And but now they've, because of this crisis with SVB, what they've done is they've said, give us your treasuries. We'll give you, we'll make you a loan of 100% of the value of the treasury. So that $750 billion loss has now disappeared. Well, if the banks take advantage of that program, it'll disappear.
It's like if you need the $750 billion, deposit us, give us $750 billion in deposits, we'll loan you the rest.
Yeah, well, what feels like Greece, what the Fed is saying is give us your investment in treasuries. We certainly believe in them, and we'll lend you 100 cents on the dollar, even though they're at a $750 billion loss.
I mean, I think what this says is basically it's a good exercise to say that monopolies sometimes aren't the greatest things, right? If you have a bank that is monopolizing the entire tech market and they fail, it basically creates this massive disruption, which we don't know what's going to happen over the next couple of days, right? And today you have SVB is being acquired by HSBC in the UK for a dollar or a pound, which is $1.20. But this
Marcus,
is
Marcus, wait, before we go on, let's get back to what you were saying.
Yeah.
At the beginning, that there was a run on the bank.
Yes.
Now I heard somebody on CNBC, banking analyst, said this is their interpretation. My read on Silicon Valley Bank is that they understood they were in a high-risk banking sector, and their balance sheet reflected that. They had regulatory capital ratios well in excess of their minimums that they needed to keep, and their competitors. So I'll read that again. They had regulatory capital ratios well in excess of their minimums and competitors. They could handle large losses in that 20% of their loan portfolio that was risky, but they could not handle a run on deposits because no bank can.
No.
You know,
right? Because
it's back to a wonderful life.
Yeah. Every time a bell rings, a tech company gets a fundraise.
So somebody said the venture capital, some of the people in the venture capital community brought this on themselves because they came out and said, yank out all your money from SVB.
Yeah.
Right. And this was, I guess, a prominent venture capital firm told all their portfolio companies to do that.
It's probably their LPs that said that.
Right.
Nobody knows that the man behind the curtain isn't the VC. It's the LP.
Yeah. But let's get back to the huge flow of capital. So at the end of 2019, SVP had $29 billion of assets.
Yeah.
And at the end of 2022, they had $128 billion of assets. Okay?
Yeah.
And
assets or deposits?
Deposits.
Deposits are getting up to the $198 billion, the $200 billion that...
Yeah.
They did have a bond. Their bond portfolio, their long-term bond portfolio was the $21 billion, which is... I guess it's this one here. What the thing is that like they were, it's the worst situation, and it's always how it always happens, where like you're forced to sell.
Oh, right? Yeah.
People, when they get forced to sell the house, and then the mortgage is worth more than the house, and then they lose the house, but they still have the remainder of the mortgage that they have to pay back.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Now here's a problem for the banks. Starting today, every treasurer, every person who has more than $250,000 in a bank, A, they can withdraw some money and go to other banks, but B, they say, I'm not going to keep my capital at this bank anymore. I'm going to go to a money market account.
Yeah.
So a lot of people across the country could be yanking the money out of banks and putting it into money market accounts. And that's a problem, you know, and that's why I think the Fed and the government is being so aggressive in terms of reassuring the market.
Well, I think for the Fed, for example, right, they're trying to curb inflation. And then, you know, they're supposed to raise interest rates another two or three times at 50 and 50 basis points, and then 25 by the third. Now they might raise it like 25 and then zero and zero, what they were expecting. But even with all these,
I don't think they're going to raise. I don't think they're going to raise at all. They might even cut.
But what's happening now is that you have this massive, the amount of commodities have gone up like crazy today. There's inflation across the board with other things because the commodity markets have moved.
Right. Like what? You mean gold?
Yeah. I mean, cotton, rice. I mean, all that stuff. I mean, like, it's like, it's because, like, you can't control everything. I mean, like, coal's up 3%, natural gas up almost 7%, gas up almost 30%. I don't know. TTF.
Well, that, you know, some of that may be a result of people thinking that the Fed's not going to raise interest rates anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, so it's sort of
a relief rally.
Yeah. But this is the thing. It's like I remember back in 2008, they had those people camping out in Zucchetti Park, you know, and everyone was blaming the banks. But this is like it's a 360 thing because, you know, these VCs that are giving money to these startups, the startups are creating these valuations that are through the roof and trying to justify these things. And then they, you know, they're pushing prices up like crazy themselves. It's not just, it's like everyone together is pushing everything, you know, and no startup is going to want to say like, oh yeah, it's our fault. Not the investor's fault. You know, the investor, you know, he's going to have his own way of looking at things, and he has to have a little bit of belief or faith also on what his investments could do. Because when you give someone $100 million or $500 million in an investment, you're putting your money and your faith in that CEO. You know, right. And you're going to have a lot of these people that, you know, I see the fault of the financiers, but I also see the fault in the startup scene. Because every sector got money. I mean, you could literally say I have a space tech startup. Now I got a food tech startup. I got something else that's crazy. Some sectors you never heard of. You know, like NFTs got super hot. Now they're not. And it's a nonstop cyclical thing. So if people who are not in the finance space, but people that are in the startup space, that are in the industrial side or the industry side, they propagate or promise certain things, and then the financier agrees or has to believe, and they're the ones that provide the money. But if your startup can't produce or generate anything, it's as much the fault of the company that's asking for the money as it is the banker. You know, I mean, the big mistake with Silicon Valley Bank has done is simply the fact that, you know, they had no place to find yield. They wanted to have a liquid investment, so they're not going to buy real estate because it's going to take too long for them to liquidate. So they bought long-term treasuries.
Right.
Right? Which is, if the United States goes bankrupt, they're guaranteed to get their money back. They don't just, the government doesn't guarantee the value, but it seems like it was a smart move, but no one expected us to go to about 5% interest rates over a course of 6 months or 9 months.
I don't know. I would argue, Marcus, that the Fed certainly telegraphed where it was going, you know.
Yeah, but they could have reacted sooner, of course.
Yeah, yeah. They could have started selling those investments sooner, but who knows? Maybe they thought the Fed was going to stop at 3. Look, this has been an unprecedented rise in interest rates. It's never happened before. A year ago, we were at 0, and we got up to 5. I mean, that's
unprecedented. That's what I'm saying. It's
crazy.
It's too
and,
fast.
And you know from all the other podcasts, I've been saying the Fed should wait. The Fed should give it time, you know, and this is exactly the point I was making, that they were far too aggressive. And I think that gets back to politics and the Fed not wanting to be embarrassed. And look, these are humans creating this strategy.
People make the decisions.
Yeah, they're not geniuses. You know, they may be geniuses, but they're not wizards that can see the future. I remember a quote from Arthur Burns that somebody told me. They were very close to Arthur Burns, and he didn't announce this publicly, but he said he felt like he was on a rocking horse, back and forth. And I think this is the way the Fed feels. You know, at one point you have a pandemic, you got to lower interest rates. The next thing, inflation, you know, raises its ugly head, and you got to stop inflation. So you got to jack up interest rates. But I think they could have done that, but I think they did it far too quickly, far too aggressively. And as I said, I think in practically every podcast that we talked about the economy and interest rates, I said they're moving too fast. They gotta wait. They should wait and see how things turn out. Well, here we are. We have a banking crisis, but I think they have it under control. But let me just give you one statistic that Chris Whalen mentioned. He said, look for banks with big securities portfolios. He said, every analyst is going to be looking at this now. He said, the negative equity position of J.P. Morgan, one of the strongest banks in the world, the negative equity position was $20 billion. The industry negative equity position was $1.1 trillion. Okay? So every bank has this problem, but SVB got caught out. Here's the other thing that hurt SVB. Most banks, most of the large banks, JP Morgan, Bank of America, their funding sources are made up of a lot of consumers, a lot of retail.
Yeah.
That represents 30 to 40% of their deposits.
Yeah.
And you and I know they pay practically nothing, right?
Now, I think they crossed a percent the other day, but
yeah. Now you know what the consumer deposits for SVB were? 2.5%.
Yeah.
So they had no source of cheap capital, like Bank of America and JP Morgan do, and the other large banks. I mean, think about that.
You said it yourself. A lot of people are probably going to move the money out of the banks and head into money markets. And we discussed before the recording started that we looked at the treasury rates, right? We agreed that we'd never seen a drop in yield from 5.05% to 5.095% right now in the board. So that's almost a 1% drop.
Right.
Here's the thing,
the credit market is multiple larger than the stock market. Credit is everything. Credit is everything, right? And this is a sort of a credit contagion, and they've got to do everything they can to stop it. Otherwise, we're going to go into a severe recession.
I mean, the one thing they can do is, I mean, if the 2-year is down 1%, right, from 5 to 4, it just shows to me that the Fed's going to have a lot of pressure to lower interest rates again.
Yeah.
Over the next couple of years. I mean, like, there's no other way to
look at it. Well, let's put it this way. they're certainly not going to raise interest rates, you know.
Yeah.
And I think this is an embarrassment for Powell, because he just raised rates. When was that? Last week? He raised them to the wazoo. in the last 10 days, right?
Yeah.
So now he's in a corner. He's embarrassed. What is he going to do? Is he going to lower rates now and embarrass himself? That's a real test. Let's see what he does. You know.
Well, I was hearing this morning that some people think that they're still going to raise 25 basis points, and then and then other people saying they're not going to raise at all. But I haven't read anywhere yet that said that they're going to lower. So if it's the same or if it goes up a little bit, you know. But I definitely think that if they raise it again, the whole market is very abreast of the situation that, you know, they could also be caught in this kind of trap. But I think this is a special situation, since there was that, you know, 20 plus billion that the SVB had in these long-term notes that, or as we've agreed, is extremely interest rate sensitive across the board. Now, yeah. I haven't read much about First Republic Bank, so I don't know why they're down 60%. But I'm actually
Which bank, Marcus?
First Republic.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Like, what are they? I mean, because I know that, like, for example, Signature Bank got shut down, and it's because they're a big lender for the crypto industry. Right. So, like, that's the sector we know.
Well, here's the key. Like I said before, look for banks with large security portfolios, because they're the ones suffering from interest rates rising.
Especially the ones that are the risky assets, right? Like the cryptos, a lot of these.
I don't think it has to do with the assets. Like I read to you this sentence here about my read on Silicon Valley Bank is that they understood they were in a high risk banking sector, and their balance sheet reflected that. Their yeah. capital ratios were well in excess of the minimums they needed to keep, and their competitors. They could handle large losses on their loan portfolio that was risky, but they couldn't handle a run on deposits. And that's the thing. If bank has a large portfolio of securities and they're running tremendous losses,
yeah,
and the depositors take their money out in droves, that they're going to have a run on the bank. So maybe First Republic has a large portfolio of long-dated bonds backing the bank, but that's been alleviated somewhat because of the Fed loan program now,
yeah,
where they said give us your bonds, we'll give you 100% on the dollar.
I mean, the drops,
which is incredible, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, but you look at the lie. If you see the financial stocks right now, they're down. PacWest Corp down 51%. First Republic is beyond the 65%. It's now at 76.6%. Zions Bank Corporation down 31%. Key Corp down 30%. Western Alliance Bank Corp 82% down. I don't know. I mean, the bank that I use the most is Bank of America, only down 3%. So I'm feeling pretty confident that my savings is okay, Ralph.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to buy some KRE or XLF. I don't know which one.
Yeah, the ETF for the financial sector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
which is not a solicitation to sell or buy, right?
Right, exactly. It's just my
personal holdings.
Yeah. Wow, KRE. It's the regional, the Spider S&P Regional Bank Index is down 14% plus.
So my curiosity becomes, like, what happens now, right? Because Accel, Sequoia, Y Combinator, SoftBank, they all use SVB. And these are major VC investors.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a blow to the community. But I would have to think one of the large banks is going to pick up. Oh, yeah. Already the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank bought their London operation. Yeah. So, yeah, this is a connection to all the Valley's technology sector. And if you have an investment banking unit like JP Morgan and Bank of America and others have, now you have a banking relationship with hot tech stocks or tech companies, I should say, and you can wheel them into your investment bank and help them go public, help them with secondary equity offerings. I mean, it's a gem. SVB is a gem. And it's unfortunate they got into this accident. But I think, except for the top management, the very top management, I think somebody will buy out SVB and take over its operations, and it'll be called something else.
You don't think they're going to keep something like Bank of America by SVB, or SVB Bank of America, or SVB by JP Morgan?
No,
it's not they're not going to keep the name. It's like Arthur Anderson just stays with the with what is it, Accenture? No more reference to Arthur Anderson.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ralph, things are changing nonstop. It's constant. I mean, it's incredible. But you have to keep up to date with all these things. And I really hope my portfolio managers are keeping up with this every single second. But let's see what happens. Maybe we should pick up the podcast again on in a couple days to give a review of what happened over the next 48 hours.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Great idea.
Ralph, episode 30. This one's a big one. Let's keep it and go to the next one. See you in episode 31.
Okay.